Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 21, as we share together this morning. I want to talk to you today about a comeback kid. Even the title, doesn't that sound great? It's a comeback kid. And in politics, sometimes there'll be a candidate running, or maybe they were in office before and they don't think they'll make it. And to everyone's surprise, they come back and they're able to be successful. And everyone says, oh, what a story, a comeback kid. And even in movies, we like movies that have a comeback theme to it. I mean, what person with an IQ higher than 3 doesn't love the Rocky movies? You know, here's Rocky Balboa. There's no way he's going to win. And then at the last minute, he comes back off the ropes and he keeps coming back. Or in the business world, you'll read about people. You know, Colonel Harlan Sanders, the KFC fame, was a total miserable failure most of his life. At the age of 66, Colonel Sanders lived on a $118 Social Security check and a little bit of money that he put together. And then somehow he came up with these 13 herbs and spices. Actually, what happened, the cabinet fell and they all mixed together, and it just came out that way probably. I don't know. But what a difference made with that comeback idea at the age of 66 to do that. And interesting, one of the great areas of comeback stories is in baseball. You know, baseball is the strangest, weirdest sport probably that we play. Number one, it has no clock. You don't know how long a baseball game is going to last. Extra innings and extra innings and extra innings, it can go on. And of all the sports that have comeback stories, baseball is great. And what I like about baseball, you can fail 2 out of 3 times and still be a great success. You know, and actually, if you get 3 balls and 2 strikes, now that's 5 opportunities. And then that 6th one can make all the difference in the world. It's amazing. Babe Ruth struck out, the famous baseball player, 1,330 times. Terrible. But I want you to know also, he hit 714 home runs. And those home runs made Babe Ruth as famous, so famous he got a candy bar named after him. Doesn't get any better than that. But the analogy I want to make is he failed twice as much as he succeeded. And yet God blessed him and used him. And there are many comeback stories. I hope you have a comeback story in your life where you could say, Frank, things were bad, not good. Funds were low and debts were high. I wanted to smile but had to sigh. Or, you know, maybe I wanted to accomplish something but everything was working against me. As a pastor, one of the things I deal with on a regular basis is defeat in people's lives. My phone rarely rings when you want to go to dinner. My phone rarely rings when you want to tell me something really good. But sometimes that moment of tragedy, that moment of losing happens, and you call, and we're glad to take those calls. But I deal with defeat in people's lives on a regular basis. People who are walking through pain, people who are walking through struggle and defeat and discouragement, and yes, real failure. And today, I thought it would be appropriate if I share a story with you of a real failure, someone who has really failed. Let me give you a definition for being a failure, if that's your life's goal. Would you write this down very quickly? Here's the equation to be a failure. You ready? Failing plus 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 failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing equals failure. Please let me give you the definition of success, because I don't want you to be a failure. It goes like this. Failing, plus 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 failing, equals success. What's the difference? The difference is that last time you get up and then you decide to brush off your knees and get back in the game of life and with the help of the Lord make an incredible difference. I want you to meet an individual right now, some of you have met, that has made such a difference. This person is one of my great heroes, and I want you to very quickly hear the story of the definition of failure that became the definition of success. I want you to meet Patrice Palmer. Patrice, would you come out just for a moment? Guys, as Patrice is coming, it took a lot of courage for her to come share this story. Would you give her a good hand as she's coming out? Some of you may remember another failure that we had a good influence with in our church, and that was a gentleman by the name of Ted Williams. Ted Williams was a homeless man in Columbus, Ohio, and stood on the exit ramp of Hudson Street and would beg for money all the time. And one day a radio DJ went by and heard his story and said, "Well, speak into the microphone." And he said, "Buy Kraft macaroni and cheese," you know, and it became famous. Ted was here at our church. I've worked with him on many occasions. That was a comeback kid story. We loved, you know how much the press loved his story? He was on the Today Show the next day. I haven't been on the Today Show. Patrice, have you been on the Today Show? I'll schedule you next week because your story is worthy of it. This is Patrice Palmer. Patrice is my friend, and she and I have different political persuasions, I'm sure, and we've agreed not to talk about those today. When we get to heaven, she'll see I'm right and she was wrong. But until then, we are brother and sister in Christ, and we love each other very, very much. I met Patrice in a very unusual circumstance I'll tell you about in a moment. But Patrice, because of time, it's not fair to you what I'm going to do time-wise, because I wish that we could talk. You can hold an audience spellbound. You've done that with our ladies. Hundreds of ladies one night didn't budge for an hour, and we thank you so much for ministering. But Patrice, you've had a rough life. You went to jail. You're a jailbird. Mm-hmm. How many times did you go to jail, Patrice? Put that up right on your mouth and look right out there, because you're on national something.
So jail, probably about 65, 75 times.
Yeah, who's counting? You know, yeah. 65. Hey, can anyone beat that in this room? Anyone want to try to take that on? 65 to 75 times you've been to jail. I would have hated to bail you. I've bailed family members out before. It's not cheap getting you out of jail.
It's not.
I'd have said, sit on your tail till you get out of jail. I'm not sending you any money. So 75 times. How many times have you been to prison?
Four.
So go back with me. What? Tell me your story. What started you down this spiral? How young were you? Just what happened?
So, for the sake of time, literally.
Just stand here in the middle. Oh, stand and look right down
here. So for me, spiraling out of control really was. A collaboration of things that had happened. And so not being able to deal with things, just turned to drugs and alcohol as my means to deal with life on its terms, to be honest. And then in order to supply that habit, I became a criminal. And I liked it. It was interesting. It was fascinating to get away with things until I got caught. Right? But it was fascinating to be caught up in this whirlwind of dysfunction, and I just kept going. I didn't know how to stop.
Yeah.
Once I got in it, it was like a cycle or a cyclone. Woo! This world went out of control, and you don't see that you're out of control and until someone that loves you tells you.
Yeah, and it's quite a story, but I have to be honest, we would not be Bonnie and Clyde because you kept getting arrested. I would not want to be with a partner 70 times.
Well, over 20 years, so over that really isn't period. Too bad.
Okay, to be honest.
So we would have been Bonnie and Clyde.
We'd have been Bonnie and Clyde. So, and in that, you went to prison. But, Patrice, the reason I have you here today, you have a comeback story. Mm. Something happened that you decided no more of this. What was the transition point for you?
So, for me, devastating my family that I was here again, going back to prison for the fourth time. And it was my brother saying to me, you know, "Ooh, we can't keep doing this." And I thought to myself, "You can't keep doing it. I'm the one in here locked up. I can't keep doing this." So my brother said to me, "You got to do something different." So that time going to prison, seeing the barbed wires and fences in my mind, and I believe God downloaded in my spirit, they're here to keep you out and not in. So my brother came to see me. He didn't bring my kids. I thought something was wrong, and he said, "We can't do it no more. You got to do something different." And it was that day, 2003, that I cried out to God. I got on my knees. And I said to God, you got to help me, because if you don't, I'm going to self-destruct and I'm going to destroy everything in my path. And so from that day to this, God has honored that.
So what I want to do, I'm fast forwarding. Again, it's not fair what I'm leaving out of all of this. But the last time that Patrice was sentenced by a judge, she looked at him and said, sir, the next time you see me, I'll be behind your bench. He thought it was a threat. Do you remember you sharing that with me? Well, after she got out of jail and went to jail to prison the last time, the Lord Jesus Christ did such a work in Patrice's heart. Incidentally, this is not Patrice Palmer. This is Dr. Patrice Palmer, who came out of that prison, earned a bachelor's degree, two master's degrees, and a doctorate degree, and for the last 20 years has been standing behind the judges in Franklin County Court, became the director of Homeland Security, working and helping inmates going into the system, coming out of the system to make a change for their lives. I just want to tell you what God has done supernaturally in Patrice's life. She has for these last years. And her resume reads like I wish mine did. Just incredible things. She's been in charge of community collaboration for Franklin County and the state of Ohio, case management, treatment plans for inmates, training and development, lead facilitator for Pathways to Women, Healthy Living. You did that at Circleville at the prison down there too, didn't you? A program developer for Pathways for Women, Healthy Living program. She's helped my family members. I'm going to show you some other things in a moment. I just want to tell you, when I met Patrice, it was the lowest point in my life as far as helping people. You know I love to help people. And I was in the Franklin County Courthouse helping a family of 9 people from another state, and they had really rattled my chain. They had drained me financially. They had drained me emotionally. They had lied to me, dirty dog, low-down lies, just incredible. And like a sucker, I'd said, here, hit me again, and hit me again, and hit me again. And finally, one of them was in jail, and I was down there. And when I don't know what to do, and I'm downtown, I go to the 16th floor of the Franklin County Courthouse. It's a cafeteria. And I'm sitting down at the cafeteria by the window saying, God, what am I going to do? And I hear her voice talking to another woman over there, and her energy is just magnetic and going. And I said, ladies, and I asked them a question because I didn't want to hear them talk. And she said, are you here for the conference? You won't remember this. And I said, no, I'm here because of a devastating situation. And she said, well, what is it? And I needed a counselor, so I dumped. I told her everything right in the cafeteria over my salad and sandwich. And she listened to all of it. And when it was over, she took these hands, she put them down on the platform and said, well, glory to God, I'm your guardian angel. Follow me to the 25th floor, I think it was. Yeah. I'd follow her anywhere at that point in time. I went up, she said, tell me their names. I said, I don't have utilities on, anything. And she said, tell me their names, where they're at. I told her, she picked up the phone, she says, this is Dr. Palmer, Franklin County. I want the electricity, the water, everything working in this house in the next 30 minutes. And it was. And she became my best friend at that point in time. And we've worked together on several cases since then. It's been great. I'm cutting this to a chase, but let me tell you what has happened. This is so good. Let me have some pictures up here, guys, real quick. This is Dr. Palmer. This is when she was honored and inducted by the Ohio State University in their program for social workers. Let me have the next one. This is her with Senator Rob Portman in Washington, D.C. Maybe you do a better job than he's doing, Patrice. I don't know. Now, this is what I want you to see. This is her son, Brandon. Brandon is a commander in the United States Navy. He had the privilege of laying a wreath on General Colin Powell's grave for the military. And next month is being transferred to Jacksonville, Ohio, to be the commander-in-chief of a naval base in Jacksonville, Florida. The son of a woman who's been incarcerated 75 times and 4 prison sentences. And then let me have the next one, please. And this is one that I love the most. There were things she wanted to do, couldn't do, because when you have as many felonies, she had so many felonies. When you look up the word felony in the dictionary, she's the poster child right there. Felony, Patrice Palmer. She received a full governor's pardon. Her records were erased, and it's the only time that I know that that's ever happened in the state of Ohio. I mean, it's a God thing, Patrice.
Absolutely.
It's a God thing.
Absolutely.
And then there's some other things up here. The governor signed that. Give me one more real quick. There you were with Senator Joseph Kennedy in Washington. You hobnob a lot, don't you? And then one of her greatest honors, let me have the next one. She was honored. Please turn it. And you know what? We're not going to talk about it. But this is your story. Mm-hmm. It's called Hush. How did you name it Hush? And in a minute, tell us what it's about. It's worth taking the time.
Okay. So Hush, let me say I was angry with God that this is the first book to release because I asked God what happened to me. And so God took me back to my childhood because it's in our childhood that our first brokenness happens. And so for me, it was being sexually abused and being quiet. And the perpetrator would say, shh. Hush, don't tell nobody. So all my life, I would be silent. And so in order to do the ministry and the work that God has given me to do, I had to get over or overcome the silence that was embedded in my mind. So that's Hush.
That is a wonderful book, and that's ministering to people. And for her to have the courage to come forward like that and make a difference is amazing. Let me have the next one, please. Please. This is where she was honored and inducted into Ohio State University as the Social Worker of the Year for the entire state of Ohio last year, which was absolutely incredible. Let me have the next one, guys. And then this, is this the one from President Obama?
Uh-huh, that's for Brandon, that he honored Brandon.
That when he honored Brandon, and Brandon's good. He's stud muffin. He looks great. But I'm interested in you. Let me have the next one. There she is taking over Senator Portman's office in Washington. Let me have the next one. And there she is with that guy, Governor DeWine. Be good, be good, be good, be good. You're in church. All right, let me have the next one. Ah, beautiful, Patrice. Let me have the next one, please. Pretty please. Is that it? You're missing the one where she was at the White House, and the White House honored President Obama, honored Patrice with a Lifetime Achievement Award for turning her life around. Guys, will you stand up with me and let's thank God for Patrice this morning and how the Lord's blessed her.
Thank you.
Now, let me tell you this before she goes. Next Friday, she retires after 20 years of helping people in prison, but she's starting a new ministry called Chosen for Change, and she's going to spend the next chapter of her life helping inmates going into the system, inmates coming out of the system, helping them do it in a positive way so they too can be a comeback kid. Amen. Patrice, we love you, and we
love
thank you
back.
Very much.
Thank you.
God bless you. No, give it to him and he'll go with you. Amen. You may be seated. Was that worth coming to church for today? Amen, amen, amen. And so this morning as we share together about comeback stories, I want to take just a moment if I could and share another comeback story with you in the Bible. There is a guy that maybe not 75 times like Patrice did, but made a lot of mistakes, and he was very close to Jesus. And of course, that's Simon Peter. We've talked about him. And Peter's comeback story is after his epic failure of denying Jesus Christ three times. And he felt that he felt so badly that he could never come back. Let me remind you of something. If you're not dead, you're not done. Please write that down. If you are not dead, you are not done. God has a plan for you. If you're still breathing, there's still life inside of you to be lived, a purpose in your life to be fulfilled in Christ. And if you need a do-over today, those watching by internet, watching on live stream, listening by radio, if you need a do-over in life today, this message is for you. If you need a second chance or a fourth chance or a sixth chance, I don't know why she didn't get it the first 75 times. But aren't you glad she went for 76 trombones in the big parade? Aren't you glad that she got up and dusted off her knees one more time and said, I'm going to do this and try this? And I know what the difference was. It was the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that was the turnaround. That was the crisis that came in her life. And you need to know that you can rebound and that you can recover and you can be restored. And what I want you to hear today is that it is never too late for a new beginning. So don't stare at your past. Don't live your life looking in the rearview mirror. We all have regrets. Is there an amen in the house? We all have stories of failure and things that we wish we could go over and get a do-over in a situation, but we can't. And the truth is, if you keep looking in the back, you're a disaster waiting to happen. You can't drive very far looking in the rearview mirror. Today is the day to start looking forward and going forward. And from this day forward, God, I'm going to make the best of my life that I possibly can. And so we're going to look at the future as Christians. And even us, when we deny Christ, and we can, by word or by deed, we lose three valuable things. We lose our joy, we lose our boldness, and I think we lose our assurance, that peace that passes all understanding in our lives. And Peter lost all three. He had no joy, he had no assurance, and he had no boldness. And John 21 is put in the Bible, I believe, for us to see that God will restore us after our failures, just like he did Simon Peter. And this passage will speak to anyone who has failed the Lord and doesn't think that they have a chance. This is the story of how Christ restored his number one apostle for even a greater work that he would do in the future. Truth be told, I can hardly wait to see what Patrice is going to do next. She is a force to be dealt with, trust me. So look with me in verse 4 of John chapter 21, and we'll see these words. This is the story of Peter, and I'm going to read a lot of scripture. It's self-explanatory. It says, when daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. Do you remember this is after the resurrection? This is now Jesus' third appearance to the disciples. They were still a little bit confused about who Jesus was, where Jesus was at, and what was happening, all of this. And now he's standing at the shore. And it says, but the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Well, cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. Does that sound familiar? That story happened at the beginning of Peter's ministry also. The disciple, the one that Jesus loved, incidentally, we're reading out of what book? John, who's the disciple Jesus loved? John. It's kind of egotistical, isn't it? That John would say, Jesus, he loves me best. But anyway, John, the disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. I mean, he couldn't get to Jesus fast enough. Since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there. Why in the world would the Bible mention a charcoal fire? But I want you to circle it because it is analogous to the fire. It's the same word used in the original language of the fire that Peter was at when he denied Jesus three times. Bring some, verse 10, bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Come and have breakfast, Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, you know the background of this story because a couple weeks ago we preached on Peter. Peter's the one that was impetuous. He was bold. You have to love that about his temperament and personality. And he had said to Jesus, though everyone else deny you, I will never deny you. I will hang with you to the very end. I will go to jail. I will go to prison, whatever it takes. Even death, I'll do that for you. And not long after that, you'll recall Jesus was under arrest, facing death and trial and his ultimate execution. And it was Peter who drew close, but not close enough. He followed him at a distance. And I pray to God that you're not following Jesus at a distance. At such a distance that under pressure, he said, I don't know him and I never knew him. It was a shameful, despicable, and a public failure that Peter performed that evening. And Peter, by definition, became an apostate that night. The word apostate, by definition, talks about one that denies the faith. And not only did Peter deny the faith, he denied Jesus himself. And his world implodes on him. And if anyone ever needed a second chance, Peter needs a second chance because he failed. And he failed so terribly that he thought he would never come back. I don't want to get you hung up on Peter's ADD or ADHD or whatever it had. But if you really study his life, he had had a lot of failures. He was a fisherman. He didn't follow Jesus first. He was following John the Baptist. And then his brother Andrew said, we have found Jesus. So he left John to follow Jesus. And then when he denied Jesus, he left Jesus. And here he's going back fishing again. And when he gets back fishing again, the scripture we just read, there's Jesus. And he gives up fishing, jumps in the water, and goes back to Jesus. He's like a yo-yo, up and down and up and down and up and down, like a lot of us. Is there an amen in the house? But something happened, Pentecost, that changed Peter forever. And you never see that yo-yo effect in his life again after that. And so we're going to see that Simon Peter goes back to Galilee and has such a failure. He takes the sword, tries to chop the guy's ear off. And literally, he was trying to cut his throat. He missed. Fishermen are not sharpshooters. They just get that hook out in the water. And he said, if I hit it anywhere, they'll bite. You know, and so the ear comes off. And we fail. And we fail, whether it's a sinful choice or just a bad behavior of some kind, a denial. We fail when we refuse to stand up for Jesus Christ. And many times we wilt in the face of pressure. I don't know how some of you parents are dealing with all the pressure you have on you in public schools to accept all of this foolishness of transgender and of all the things that are happening in the school system of the teaching of critical race theory. And instead of getting an education, your children many times are getting an indoctrination. And it takes real courage and it takes real help to stand up against those things. But I pray that God will make you bold, that you'll never just be quiet, that you'll never just leave it alone. Because this is our one and only chance as a generation to stand strong for the things of God. And the wheels of progress move slow, but do not ever compromise. Do not ever walk away from what you know foundationally is morally taught in the Bible. And so, amen. But sometimes we wilt in the face of pressure. Now, why would we deny the Lord? Three things real quick. Number one, for Peter, it was his pride, presumption. You see, Peter overestimated his ability. Do you ever overestimate your ability? Those of you that are older will remember the name Bill Gaither. Bill Gaither said when he was young, he said, you know, I don't know why parents have trouble raising children. And he said, then I had three. He said, I have no idea how to raise children. It humbled him real quick. He was over arrogant. Anybody can be a professional when you don't have kids. And Peter was overconfident in his ability, and he overestimated it. You remember he said, though all of these may deny you, Lord, not me. I'm the tough guy. I'm the big fisherman. He was all about himself. He was self-sufficient. And you can almost see that in the way he carried himself and the words he would speak. And Peter didn't even know himself. And probably you don't know yourself, and I probably do not know myself, but the truth is the Lord knows us. The Lord knew Peter through his good moments and through his failure and through every bit of it. And Jesus told him at the Last Supper, do you remember? He said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said in the original language, no way, Jose. It's not going to happen, God. No, not me, Lord. Yes, Simon, you will deny me three times. And Peter may have been surprised at his weakness. Are you ready for this? Jesus was not. You may be surprised at your weakness, but Jesus is not. Now, I want to tell you the truth about Simon Peter. Simon loved the Lord. He confessed the Lord as his Savior. He was truly a believer, but the problem was he was not prepared to go to battle. He was not prepared to stand for the Lord when he needed to stand for the Lord and when he would face the cross. And how dark that darkness would become. How terrible the temptations would be. And so his self-confidence set him up for sin. If you're overconfident, if you're self-confident, it can set you up for that. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, let him that thinks he stand take heed unless he falls. And in another place, the Bible says pride comes before a fall. And many times it's our pride, it is our arrogance that sets us up for a huge failure and spiritual falling. And the potential for evil is inside of every one of us. I don't care if you're saved, sanctified, petrified, full of the Holy Ghost, and you eat milk on your toast. Every one of us, as long as you're on this side of eternity, there is a potential that we can mess up. Amen? And we're all vulnerable to that. Dr. Jack Graham says, there's evil in all of us, coiled like a snake, ready to strike. And I like the way he put that. If we neglect the spiritual disciplines that we need to have, if we live in self-confidence instead of in faith, then we're in danger of this defeat, all of us. And Peter boasted that he would never deny Christ, but you know what? He did. He denied Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers, some of you may know that work very well, at the beginning of the 20th century in 1904, 1905, this 29-year-old young man died at a very young age, but had put together some devotionals that to this day we treasure called My Utmost for His Highest. And one of the things that Chambers says was this. He said, an unguarded strength is a double weakness. Now think about that. Let me say it again. I want you to meditate on it. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. Now, most of us, you know what we do? We work to our weakness when we should be working to our strength. But if we think we're working to our strength and it's going to get us through, then it can ultimately become our weakness. So we need prayer in absolutely everything. And if you know where you're weak, you would never want to put yourself in that situation. So most often, even though we focus on the weakness, Chambers is saying, if you do that, it's okay, but doubly guard your strength because the enemy will get in there. That's what happened with Peter. Now, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. No, Lord, I used to be a bouncer in the fish house. I am not going to leave you. If everyone runs away, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for you, God. And here's what happens. Our self-sufficiency, our strength works in our lives in such a way that it can turn to pride in our lives. So I just want to encourage you in the story of Peter this morning, guard your strengths as well as your weaknesses. It's in our weakness that we are made strong in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us that. So there's pride and presumption, but there's also something else in the story of Peter that you can see, and it's prayerlessness. You know, that's the only way that you have to communicate with God. God has many ways to communicate with you. He speaks to you through nature. We're at the time of the year where the birds are singing, the flowers are budding, and we just smell the fragrance of spring, and you know that there's a God in heaven. And the Bible tells us by the very creation, we can tell that there's a God. You open your Bible and God speaks to you. The number one way that God will speak to you and to me is through His Word. It's that valuable and that important. But sometimes God will speak to you in your spirit directly. The only way that you can communicate with God is through your prayer life. And when you leave your prayer time out, you're missing the greatest opportunity you have to communicate with the sovereign of the universe on a regular basis. We're told in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 37, when Jesus was pouring out his heart in the garden the night before he was crucified, he had taken his inner circle to pray with him. Notice what it says in verse 37 on the screen. It says, then he came and found them sleeping, Peter, James, and John. He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It was their pride and Peter's pride that produced this prayerlessness. Maybe their mindset was, why pray if you can take care of it yourself? You know, why bother God if we can take care of this? So when we face fires of temptation, when we're facing failure, when we come to face with the enemy, that we would be prepared better because we prayed, because we sought the Lord, and we're ready to face this thing. I do know this, and this is something else worth writing down. We are no stronger than our prayer life. That is the most important thing. You remember the old adage? Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Our prayer life is that important. It's prayer that produces the power of God in our lives. And then finally, prayerlessness, pride, but ultimately pressure. You know, rarely am I tempted to commit adultery while I'm preaching on this pulpit. Rarely am I tempted to go get drunk and rob a gas station when I'm on this pulpit. And, you know, whatever temptation we have, Satan knows when to present them, right? I use those to wake you up. But there are times when under pressure that at that moment you will say something you would have never normally said. Amen? You will do something. You'll allow your feet to go places, your hands to touch something that is not yours to touch. Your feet should never go there. And in a moment of pressure, under stress, and you say, I don't know what I was thinking. It just happens that quickly. When Jesus was arrested, the disciples ran. But according to Luke chapter 22 and verse 54, it says Peter followed at a distance. He got close, but not close enough. He got close enough to be around the crowd that was crucifying Christ. He was in the wrong crowd at the wrong time, the wrong place, and the wrong words came out of his mouth. And too many Christians are part-time believers, casual observers. Can I encourage you today as a follower of Jesus Christ? Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to get to church late and I'm going to leave early. Please don't be that way. Come to church early and leave late. This is our opportunity to worship the Lord and get close to Jesus. And you don't know what the Lord will do in the last 3 minutes of a service. You don't know what he would do at the beginning of the service. It may shock some of you that don't come in for the music, but the music is the time that the Lord can minister to your heart and can bless you. And at the last minute, when you're trying to beat the Christian church in Sunbury to the restaurant, you may miss the very reason you got up to come to church that day. It's great preaching, Frank. God bless your heart, man. I'll tell you that right now. But here's Simon. He finds himself with the wrong people at the wrong place at the wrong time, and he went down hard. He went down bitterly. Now, what did he lose? He lost his testimony. He lost his opportunity to stand for Christ. Christ, he lost that. And even in front of a little girl, he used profanity. He profaned the name of Jesus at that point. But the truth is, he was broken by his sin. And any time that you finally get broken by your sin, when someone tells me they're starting out in sin, I always pray for the pig pen experience for them. I pray that sooner than later, you'll get to the end of yourself. That you'll have what happened with the prodigal son in Luke 15, verse 17, when it says, and he came to himself. Do you remember the day you came to yourself? When what you thought was right was really wrong, and the Lord's way was better than your way? And he came to himself. And Simon Peter came to himself. You have two options when you're broken by sin. And one of the two things that we can do, number one, we can quit. We can just give up. And people do quit. People quit coming to church. People quit following the Lord. I hear all the time, people say, oh yeah, I used to be a Christian. Well, if you were ever a Christian, you're still a Christian. Or I used to go to church. We can quit. That's what Simon wanted to do. In John 21:3, you look at it at verse 3. In that chapter you're looking at, Peter says, hey guys, it's over. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to that original career. And what he meant was, I'm going back to the old way of life. I'm obviously not a very good Christian. I'm not a very good disciple of Jesus. So I'm going back to my old life, my old ways, my old habits. Maybe you say it a different way. This church thing is not working for me. I'm going back hanging out with my buddies at the bar. I'm going back to the club. I'm going to go back to this world and deal with it because I'm not a very good Christian. I keep falling and failing. You haven't failed 75 times yet. So they'd fished all night on that water without catching anything. And notice this, and I'll close. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called them friends. You don't have any fish, do you? Nope. Cast the net on the right side. Let it come up. When Simon Peter heard it, now notice this. He had on his inner garment, his Levi gown, And the outer garment was what he wear going to the seashore. But when you're fishing, manly fishing, you just wear the inner garment. When he knew it was Jesus, as quickly as he could, he put the outer garment on. And it says he tied his clothing around him and plunged into the sea. And here's the takeaway for today. Forgiveness will cause you to get to Jesus as fast as you possibly can.